him. Catch, touchdown.
Stop it. Stop it. You can't do this. You can't escape. You can't make these plays. You can't make these throws.
Jacobs cutting back. Getting to the edge. Jacobs is in for the touchdown.
I just don't remember anybody doing what this young man has done so far in the league.
It's fourth down and one.
Welcome to Fourth and One. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. Nick, we have another victory edition. Haven't had maybe as many of these as we expected or thought we would so far this season. But, you know, I mean, the Chiefs went down to Mexico City and they did what they needed to. They got a win. They're 7-4. They've got a half-game lead in the division. It probably sets up a really huge game with the Raiders on December 1st. I would expect both teams are going to be 7-4 coming into that one. Are you feeling good about this team right now, or are you feeling kind of blah after that game?
I don't feel like we got to learn much about the Chiefs from that football game. I don't know how to put it in a nice way, but that field took a lot away from what they try to do on offense, and so a lot of their playbook kind of became useless tonight with the conditions of that field. And then on top of it, the elevation, it got to everybody. Chargers, Chiefs, it didn't matter. Everybody was huffing and puffing in that fourth quarter. You see Bosa and Ingram just both on a knee after a rush and just hands on their hips, and they're beyond exhausted. Even though they were in Colorado with the elevation, so the Chiefs had to make a decision with their play calling about what was going to get them the win versus what was going to get them style points.
Well, I mean, it was surprising that they allowed Shakir to have a pop up concert on Thursday at Estadio Azteca. I mean, I was going to say that's the only thing I can assume, because Clark Hunt assured us that the field was in great shape last week.
I'm sure that's what he was told too. You know, I have no doubt he was told that.
So it did not appear to be in great shape. And look, I don't think you can blame any of the Chiefs' injuries necessarily on the field. I didn't see any that I thought were turf related. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's possible that. You know, Tyreek's hamstring injury came from the turf giving way at some point. I haven't seen any evidence of that. I would guess it was more likely, just in the course of him running like he normally does. But overall, yet another game where the Chiefs had some key penalties and shot themselves in the foot in key moments and had a lot of injuries. But the bottom line is Phillip Rivers threw four interceptions, although I do take issue with one of them. I think it should have been a sack strip fumble, not an interception for Derek Nnadi. But, you know, whatever. He had four turnovers is the bottom line. And you don't win many football games in the NFL when your quarterback turns it over four times. So good for Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, I mean, Rivers did what he's going to do. He likes to elevate the football now because he still wants to try to throw the fastballs like he used to, but he has to put a little bit more air under it. So the Chiefs were able to take advantage of that, and I think we talked about that in the podcast last time, that there was going to be a chance for the Chiefs to get a couple interceptions, especially with the altitude.
You know, and if Tyrann Mathieu intercepts the ball that fluttered there at the goal line, and then ultimately this is your fault because you said San Diego before the podcast, Nick. Ultimately, yeah. Los Angeles goes down, gets their only points of the second half with a touchdown, 2-point conversion. Really, this game could have the Chiefs could have salted that game away a lot earlier if Tyrann Mathieu had secured that interception. But in the end, Daniel Sorensen got to be the hero with the pick. I mean, what did you think of that play? I mean, how nervous were you watching the Chargers? I mean, because, you know, like you said, both teams were gassed. I think the Chiefs got ripped off because I think that Mike Williams was down inbounds on the long pass that got him in position to really, force an overtime or maybe even going for a 2-point play to win it. And they didn't wind the clock and run it there, and that kind of gave him a chance. But, you know, at the end of the day, Daniel Sorensen picked that pass off. What was the emotion like for you when Sorensen finally finished that one off?
Well, the first thing I'm going to talk about and address is the fact they didn't run time off the clock. I'm okay with that because that may have given the Chiefs defenders some chance to catch their breath to be able to make one of those plays. Because I know they had a couple more plays because of it, but it gave everybody a little bit of time to kind of catch their wind. So that could have worked against the Chiefs if they didn't have that additional time to try to catch our breath. But no, I was having flashbacks to the Thursday night football game against the Chiefs and Chargers last year there at the end. And then Sorensen made the big play because I was thinking right then, I was like, man, Chargers score here. They're going to go for two, and it's just going to be deja vu all over again. But then Sorensen made the pick and made it happen, and two key members of that were Frank Clark coming around the edge there that forced Rivers to step up, and Chris Jones collapsed the pocket right there at the same time, and Rivers had to put a little bit more air on it instead of fastballing it like he wanted to. And because of that, Sorensen was able to make the play on it.
Yeah, and because of that, the Chiefs, you know, like we said, they come back from Mexico City. They're in good shape. They're 7-4. You know, they get the bye week. You know, hopefully they can get a little bit healthier there, because once again, you know, you had Tyreek get hurt, but you also had Damian Williams and LeSean McCoy leave this game. Williams with a rib injury, LeSean McCoy evaluated for concussion, and then you know Austin Ryder left the game, but then and he came back in at one point, but you know, and finished off the game. But still, another tough year for injuries. First of all, how good was it to see Eric Fisher back out there, and how much of a difference do you think he made? Because even though he clearly wasn't 100%, he's still a pretty substantial upgrade over Cam Irving.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't have as many issues pass rush-wise on the edge with him having to take on Bosa and Ingram. So that's kind of where his presence was felt. It may not seem like it with the way the passing offense performed collectively, but it would have been a lot worse if Eric Fisher hadn't been out there. Patrick would have been running for his life on every down. He was, unfortunately, because of some of the interior, but yeah, no, Fisher held his own for the most part. I mean, he was rusty in run blocking, and that's to be expected, given that he hadn't played since week two. But, no, I mean, Fisher fought through it. The entire team fought through it. And unfortunately for Fisher, the downside was his welcome back game was against Bosa and Ingram with the altitude. So I guarantee that wasn't easy in general, let alone having had that much time off.
Yeah, and I mean, look, he'd basically missed 10 weeks because he got hurt in the opener, and he went a couple, you know, he went a few plays against Oakland in week two. But he had, I mean, he really hadn't played since the Jacksonville game. So gutsy effort by him. What do you think of Patrick Mahomes' performance overall? Because, like, people are going to look at it. It's the fewest yards he's had in a game that, other than the Denver game when he, you know, got hurt in the second quarter and didn't finish it and only had 76 yards. But sure looked like he was going to have a big game that one. He'd never had fewer than 243 yards in a full game until tonight. And then he goes 19 to 32, 182, had a touchdown, a beautiful touchdown to Travis Kelce, but also had his second interception of the season. Kind of an uneven performance, but I think you've also got to include his five rushes for 59 yards in there as part of the impact he made on this one.
Yeah, I mean, Patrick, what it came down to is he was trying to hit the home run ball early when Tyreek was out there, and with Robinson, he was really trying to be the guy that started the fire for that offense and tried to put on a show. And he's putting a lot of pressure on himself there early, and the Chargers were want to play a lot of their zone coverage. So what ended up having to happen is, like, they had to kind of accept that the field wasn't in the best condition and that they weren't going to be able to just outscore and outrun the secondary and kind of play football the way that they like to. They were going to have to alter and adjust to what the conditions were that they were playing in. So unfortunately, Patrick just kind of had to take what the defense gave him, and he did a good job of doing that, especially in the second half. He took what the defense gave him, and then he kind of, whenever they went into man covers on those third downs, and Patrick was able to take advantage of it and take off running and pick up a handful of first downs, and made you nervous the entire way about how his knee was going to hold up. And then I got really nervous whenever one of the rushers went to the back of his left leg at one point, and ESPN wasn't exactly doing the best job of keeping a camera on Patrick Mahomes to see how he's getting up every time.
No, but I mean, to your point, that, you know, early on when he was taking those shots and wasn't connected and had the interception, things like that, I mean, it added up to, you know, the Chiefs only had 109 yards in the first half, you know, and Los Angeles had 312 yards, and they had more than a 2-to-1 time, you know, time advantage. And I really, you know, when you saw the defense had been on the field for more than 20 minutes and the offense hadn't really generated anything, I mean, really, you know, they had the one field goal, but most, you know, their only real points came, you know, because Tyrann Mathieu was able to return one to the six, and they were able to get a touchdown off that to lead 10-9 at halftime. But I really thought they were setting themselves up to really wear down and run out of gas like they had against Tennessee in the second half. But how important do you think those first two drives of the second, you know, of the third quarter were then? Because they came out and kind of methodically went down the field, took 5.5 minutes off the clock. They were establishing the run a little bit. And look, they didn't have a great night running the ball. I mean, they finished with like 130 yards, and they finished with like 4.8 yards per carry. But a lot of that was Mahomes, you know, taking advantage, particularly on two very, very long runs when they went to man coverage and just lost track of him. I mean, other than that, they didn't have a great night running the ball, but it would allow them to kind of restore the balance in terms of time of possession and give that defense a chance to rest. And as you could see at the end of the game, they still almost didn't have enough to finish that thing off.
Yeah, they clearly made the decision at halftime that they were going to have two big series there to start out the second half there, and that they were going to take a significant time off the clock so that the defense could get the necessary rest to kind of be able to put some drives together to force some turnovers with Rivers or three and outs or whatever they needed to. So the Chiefs were able to kind of those first two drives there in the third quarter, I think that was essentially the difference in the ball game. That kept it at bay enough, and I mean the Kelce corner route for the touchdown, that was the final scoring play for the Chiefs and the final significant play on offense to really kind of put that game away. I mean, you would have liked to have seen more, but I think they kind of made a choice as a staff that they were just gonna take time off the clock there in the second half, and that Rivers wasn't really gonna have the passes that he needed for most of the night, and they kind of made the decision that they were just going to run off the clock and get off the field.
One thing, you know, from a defensive standpoint, obviously toward the end of the game, they had to pass the ball a lot more, but the run defense looked better tonight. I mean, how much of that is just personnel? Because early on, we saw more of Reggie Ragland, and we saw Mike Pinnell make some big plays earlier in the game. You know, I mean, is it as simple as those guys make a bit of a difference, or you know, what? Why do you think they had a little bit more success?
I think part of it was obviously, like you said, Mike Pinnell being out there, and I think they were willing to do some of their run blitzes and shoot the gaps a little bit more and kind of control the line of scrimmage. So that was my opinion whether they're more effective tonight. Now the downside of doing that was that you were going to give Austin Ekeler some chances. Whether you blitzed or you had run blitzes or what you were going to do, you were going to give Austin Ekeler some chances to get out there in the flats, and he's able to get the thing.
Like Tano Passanio.
Yeah, that one was a huge one, and there's just some other ones that they were going to be able to get their running backs out in the flats and be able to expose the Chiefs defense that way. So you're going to deal with that, and you're going to have Sorensen on Mike Williams a couple times, and you know, you're going to have some of those mismatches because of the blitzing you were doing and that type of stuff. But you were doing that to get those moments in Rivers forcing some passes that weren't there, getting Rivers out of rhythm or kind of controlling the run game and discouraging them from running the ball. So they were able to kind of force the Chargers to run a lot of their passing offense, and that wore the Chargers down some to an extent in the game. I know the Chargers weren't on the field as much in the second half, but they'd been out there so much in the first half that, I mean, that 10 minutes, that they looked kind of worn out themselves. The Chargers' offensive line, they were worn down. The Chiefs' defensive line, if they'd had a healthy Okafor or Agba or had a full rotation that they could have used, that game would have ended quicker there in the fourth quarter. And just the Chiefs were having to tough through it, because I mean, you saw Chris Jones down on the knee, hands on his hips. You saw Frank Clark, you know, and some of the other guys. Whenever they were Chargers doing hurry up, they were walking because they were trying to save as much energy as they could for each snap. And they just that Chiefs pass rush, they were worn out there by middle of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and look, I mean, the Chargers, I was a little surprised. I mean, they only ran the ball 19 times, and they had Phillip Rivers throw it 52. I'm not sure if that was the game plan coming in. but it wasn't a very successful one at the end of the day. Look, I mean, Rivers had 353 yards at the end, but he only averaged 6.8 yards, you know, per attempt, and then on top of that had the four picks. Obviously it didn't work out in their favor. 17 points says it all.
Yeah, and that's where we're having. I'm not kidding when I say this. Them firing Ken Whisenhunt, I think that's been a big problem of theirs, because I mean they've lost their last two games since they fired Ken Whisenhunt, because Whisenhunt knew how to create more of a balance than people realized, and the Chargers organization gave him credit for. And so you have this young offensive coordinator. He's not young in coaching, but he's young in coordinating, and he doesn't really have the balance that's needed, and he's not attacking the weaknesses of the opponent. So he put them in some pressure cooker situations, and Rivers faltered in the fourth quarter in both the Raiders and the Chargers games.
Yeah, now at 4-7 and in third place in the division, I think they're toast. I mean, with the Bills, with the Bills and the Ravens, you know, kind of in the lead as far as I guess the Ravens are in the lead in the NFC North, but with the Bills up there and with so many teams ahead of them in the race for a wild card spot at 4-7, I think this was an elimination game from the Chargers' perspective, and it'll be interesting to see how they finish the season, because Rivers is out of contract. This could be kind of we could be seeing the swan song of Philip Rivers here.
Yeah, I think this is the beginning of the end of Rivers in a Chargers uniform, because they're going to – it was coming at some point. You saw last year the fastball starting to go on them, and now you see it even more so this year, and it's the beginning of the end of the Rivers era, and we won't be able to see as many temper tantrums anymore after this year.
Yeah, well, maybe. I mean, who knows? Maybe they can pick up a quarterback who has, just as many bratty qualities, because I will miss that. I will miss the occasional AFC West meltdown from an opposing quarterback, it'll be a sad day when Philip Rivers goes, because, you could chalk up, at least a season split most years.
Yeah. And looking at the Chargers, the rest of their schedule, they have a bye week, obviously, and they're at Denver, at Jaguars. They play the Vikings, Raiders, and Chiefs to close out the season. So that's going to be a really tough road for them.
Yeah, and I mean, the big problem is they've already got seven losses. So anyway, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we will carry on talking about the Chiefs' victory in Mexico City here on 4th and 1.
When you're the home of the Chiefs, you give the kingdom what they want. Shows that go inside the locker room and get up close and personal. Any closer, and you need a helmet and a chin strap. Exclusive insight from the man who bleeds Chiefs red. A weekly podcast that's second to none. And starting next year, the preseason games play here. 41 Action News, Kansas City's home of the Chiefs.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacob. And Nick, I want to start. There's something. The injuries have really piled up on this team this year, and some of them are freak injuries, okay? Like, I don't think there's anything you can do to avoid something like Patrick Mahomes' injury. I think it's just a freak thing where, a couple guys hit knees. Austin Wolf's happened to displace Patrick Mahomes' kneecap. These things happen in contact sports. But do you think there's anything to the just, it seems like the Chiefs have had so many more injuries than most years. I know you had tweeted about how this is the most you could remember in any season, and you've covered this team for almost two decades at this point. So is there anything to it? I mean, is it, do they need to reevaluate training methods, or do guys need to reevaluate off-season regimens? I mean, where do you start with trying to rein this in, or is it just a hazard of the job?
I think a part of it is, and this isn't just a Chiefs thing, this is something that I think is really more of a overall league thing. So many guys are training in the off season, and they're not letting their bodies rest, and they're not giving them the full rest, and they're training year-round to where, I mean, I know they're doing less, in some ways they're doing less to where in training camp they're not having to do two or three a days like they did in back in the 90s and 80s and so on. They're not having to do as much physical contact. But at the same time, I mean, some of the off-season programs and then also players doing as much off-season training as they do. I know I've had former players tell me that they, as soon as the off-season hit, if they could, they would let their bodies rest for 3 months at a time if they could, and just let it rest and let it try to heal back up, and then they would use training camp, the full 6 weeks that they had, they would use that to get themselves in condition. I mean, I know football is completely different year round now in some regards, but I truly believe that the players, if there's a way that they can kind of figure it out to where they can kind of rest their bodies more and kind of give them time to heal up and just not have activity in some regard, I think that would help the game overall, but that's just a theory on my part, more so than, you know, scientific data backed up with it. I think that's part of it. And then also, I mean, it's just football is a physical sport, and the guys are, they're faster, bigger, stronger, and the collisions are more intense. And for the Chiefs, I mean, their bye weeks have come very late in the year, especially around Thanksgiving, essentially both years. So this past two. So, I mean, they got lucky last year not having to deal with injuries, but this year they've dealt with a handful of them.
And the studio's falling apart. So if you heard that crash, it was because one of the soundproof panels just fell off and almost whacked me in the head. So it's a good thing you weren't here, Nick Jacobs. We wouldn't want you going back on the DL. That'll make for some good video. I know you're not a doctor, but interesting perspective there. Real quick about the offense. How concerned are you getting with this offense? Especially when Tyreek isn't in there and he missed, what, 4 games? You hope that he won't have to miss significant time, especially with such a critical game with Oakland coming up. But hamstring injuries can be fickle, especially for a speed guy. And we know what happens to this offense when Tyreek isn't in there. Where are you at with this offense? Because in terms of red zone offense this year, they haven't been great. We saw it again tonight where, they get in. They've been settling for a lot more field goals this year than they have been getting the touchdowns. They've had a lot more games where they seem to have trouble getting things untracked. And some of that we've assumed had to do with offensive line. Some of that we assumed had to do with Patrick Mahomes' ankle injury. Some of that we assume had to do with Tyreek Hill being out and having to work his way back in. But is it just all those things adding up, or are there some real red flags for you as far as this offense and what's going on with it?
Well, I would say a part of it is when you look at last year, because everybody keeps holding the offense to last year's expectations. Like, people thought they were just, we added another receiver, we're going to take it to a whole new level. But, I mean, a part of the problem is overall is whenever Tyreek is hurt or when he's out and they don't have him in the offense, I mean, it changes the offense significantly. Defenses don't have to show the same respect. I mean, the Chargers would have played completely differently if Tyreek was out there tonight. And at some point, Patrick would have chucked a football 70 yards downfield to Tyreek and probably would have gone the distance potentially. And there would have been a lot more room under the middle for Kelce to work and for Hardman to work on some plays. And, and some of those screens would have been more effective because Tyreek would have been threatening deep. So, I mean, it's the part of it is the Tyreek Hill aspect of it. And like you said, part of it is the offensive line. I mean, Patrick was running a lot more tonight than he had been in last week's game and in a handful of other games. I know you got Bosa and Ingram, but, I mean, I wasn't expecting as much pressure as they got up the middle against that offensive line being back together for the first time since probably week one or two collectively.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Ryder had some big trouble even before he got hurt. Austin Ryder was really struggling in the middle today.
Yeah. So, I mean, that interior struggled tonight from what I watched live. And then part of it is, and I know people don't want to admit it, and some people don't believe it, but I mean, Kareem Hunt was the guy they turned to in the red zone to get those tough yards and to be able to make it happen or to throw a flats pass to him. And they don't have the same production at running back to make that happen right now. Darrell Williams gives them some of the power, but he just doesn't have the same ability as a receiver yet. And at this point in his career, that's part of the thing is like McCoy can give him some of the shake and he can give him some of the pass catching, but you know, Williams can give them the power, but they're having to get it from multiple players rather than you got one back that can do both, and you can keep a defense guessing. So I think that's another part of what's kind of caused some of the downslope and some of the production that people were used to last year.
You know, the other thing though is also every time LeSean McCoy touches the ball now, I assume that there's a 50% chance he's going to fumble it. So,
luckily, he fumbled it back to himself today. That one would have been a bad turnover.
Yeah, no, that would not have been good. They still might have been playing. It would have been approaching the end of overtime. So, what is your feeling entering the bye week? You know, because coming into the season, I think. Neither one of us was willing to say it, but if you had told me that they hit the bye week undefeated back in August, I would not have been stunned by that. Obviously, that's not the way the season's gone, not by a long shot. They have lost when Mahomes was too hurt and probably shouldn't have played against Indianapolis when they had like six starters out. They have lost when Matt Moore just wasn't quite good enough to go toe-to-toe with Aaron Rodgers, a future Hall of Famer. They have lost, in stunning, odd, maybe horrific fashion if you're a Chiefs fan, at Tennessee. They've just found ways to lose games that you maybe didn't expect them to. And I think people forget, if it weren't for Bashaud Breeland, like, picking up a ball at the goal line and returning it 100 yards for a touchdown, they probably lose that game in Detroit. And by the way, that's a Detroit team that's 3-6-1 right now. So I think 3 weeks into the season, you were thinking, man, maybe Detroit's better than we thought. No, it turns out Detroit is who we thought they were. Maybe the Chiefs aren't as good as everybody thought coming into the season. So where are you at? Is this a Super Bowl contender? Is this still a work in progress? Or is this a team that you think all right, so year one was amazing. Year two, it really came into focus what they need to put around Patrick Mahomes to kind of open up that championship window, a la the 19-year run that the New England Patriots have had.
One thing I will say in regards to the Lions game is they did lose their running back pretty soon after that Chiefs game. And then obviously Matt Stafford's been hurt the past handful of weeks and probably will be the rest of the year. So
rest of his career.
That's one way to put it. I think that's kind of been a big part of the Lions' downturn overall. And they've had some injuries on defense, and they were at full strength when they played the Chiefs, and if they'd been able to maintain that, they would have been a lot better this year than what their record has indicated at this point. But to go to the rest of it, I don't think any of us know what the Chiefs are or aren't right now, and that's a big part of the problem, is because a lot of people were confident after that Ravens game, hey, they're a Super Bowl contender, and then the Colts came to town and got nervous, and then the Texans came to town and got real nervous, and then the Packers game, you're like, okay, well, they're at least in the ballpark, and Patrick comes back, and you got a shot, and then that Titans game, I think, just rattled everybody, and I don't think there's a lot of confidence in the fan base right now that anybody has a definitive answer on what this team is or isn't, and the defense is still a big work in progress, and it's going to need a lot of additions after this year in 2020, and there's some additions they're going to have to make to the offense next year as well. So I think they're getting a clear picture of what they're going to have to add long-term for this team to be successful. But in the short term, they've got to figure out a way to make it work and ride it out the rest of the season, to at least try to get a playoff win.
How much fun, though? I mean, the playoffs really start December 1st now for the Chiefs, though. Because that's in a lot of ways, that's a playoff game. I mean, at 7-5, you're not going to be – you're still going to be in the wild card hunt, but certainly not going to be feeling real confident about your chances of making the playoffs. On the other hand, the winner of that Chiefs-Raiders game is going to come out of it at 8-4, feeling like they're in control of the division, because they will be in control of the division, obviously. And you're going to be feeling pretty good about your chances of playing deeper into January. So, how much fun is that going to be to have a meaningful Raiders game for the first time since, probably 2016?
Yeah, it'll be fun if they win.
Nick Jacobs with the most honest answer he's ever given in the history of this podcast.
Well, I'm just being honest. Like, it'll be fun if they win, but if they don't, it's going to be frustrating, and you're just going to feel like there's so many opportunities that have been missed, because then the next week you got to play the Patriots, and then at that point everybody's going to be in panic mode if they can get through the final handful of games of the season. So, I mean, the Raiders game is going to be big, and it'll be the it'll be the first time the Chiefs are going to face an opponent for the second time. So it'll be interesting to see what adjustments Steve Spagnuolo makes. It'll be interesting to see how the Chiefs handle the run against the Raiders, and it'll be interesting to see how they go after Carr this time around.
Yeah, I was going to say, Josh Jacobs, every bit as good as advertised. That is not that is a matchup that hopefully if there's an upside to it, the players get to rest. The coaches get an extra week to figure out what they want to do. Hopefully they won't overthink it, and they'll have no excuses for this one, I guess is what I'm saying.
It's going to be a very interesting 2 weeks with them taking on the Raiders and Patriots in back-to-back weeks. They will definitely know where they stand after those two games.
Yep, for sure. All right, hey, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll check the tweets.
When you're the home of the Chiefs, you give the kingdom what they want. Shows that go inside the locker room and get up close and personal. Any closer, and you need a helmet and a chin strap. Exclusive insight from the man who bleeds Chiefs red. A weekly podcast that's second to none. And starting next year, the preseason games play here. 41 Action News, Kansas City's home of the Chiefs.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. Nick, it's the C block. You know what that means?
Check the tweet.
There we go. By the way, Nick, he's not on the DL, guys. He's just off on Monday nights. And so, rather than drive down from his home, which I will not tell you where it's at, because we're not going to be like some other news stations that like gave out Patrick Mahomes' address and whatever. So I'm not going to let people go stalking you, Nick, by telling people where you live. It is near a Wendy's. That's the only hint I will give you. But that's why if Nick sounds muffled, it's because he called this one in. He literally phoned in this podcast.
that's a factual point, Todd.
So, as we finish up Nick's phoning it in podcast, we'll see how he feels about checking the tweets. Nick, Jonathan Taliaferro, at John Tal on Twitter, wants to know, list three things you think the Chiefs could realistically fix over the bye. And then he says, injuries don't count, winking emoji.
The first thing I think they can fix is what they want to do with their offensive line rotation. What's going to help them, what's going to help build up their run game and help them in the red zone. That's the first thing they can do. And if I were in their shoes, Fisher would be your left tackle. I'd put Wesniewski at left guard. You have Ryder probably at center, or you put Allegretti at center, and then you put Wiley back at right guard where he belongs, and Schwartz at right tackle. That's your powerful offensive line. If you want to be able to run the ball, and if you want to be successful in the red zone, that's the offensive line you probably need to put out there to be able to road grade some people. So that's kind of where I'm at on that one.
Having said that, how realistic is it, do you think, that they're going to bench LDT when they're paying him, when he's got the contract that he does?
Oh, I fully expect them to keep using the offensive line you saw tonight. I fully expect it to be the line they use unless there's injuries. So I don't see them making any changes. I'm just telling you, that's the change they could make on the offensive line to be able to be the road graders they need to be to score points and win football games. So that's a personal opinion, but I don't foresee that ever becoming a actual reality. So that's that. Defensively, I mean, they're just going to have to figure out what they want their identity to be, and it's going to be an attacking defense. I mean, that's really what they're going to have to do, especially against the Raiders when they play them. I mean, it's just kind of who they are, and that's what they're going to have. Steve Spagnuolo is working with the personnel he's got and doing the best he can. So, I mean, the only other thing is they can figure out the adding some people to the defensive line rotation. That's really the only thing they're going to be able to do in that regard, and then those are the only things that I think they can work on.
Yeah, I hope Spagnuolo does a self-scout, and kind of zeroes in on the Denver The Denver, Green Bay, and Minnesota games, and kind of looks and says, okay, what did we do in these games that we were successful? And maybe even a little bit tonight's game against the Chargers, because you can say whatever you want, but they only gave up 17 points. They gave up a lot of yards, yeah, but there were some positives out there today. Frank Clark had easily his best game as a Chief. Hopefully Spagnuolo will do a really good self-scout and kind of zero in on what this team does well, and then can build from there.
All right. Question for you comes from Steven. He asks, what is it about this team that prevents us from having the killer instinct mind frame?
It's hard to say. I mean, I think part of it comes down to, a lot when you talk about a killer instinct, a lot of times you're talking about that 4 minute offense where you can just grind out a win, where you can just like physically dominate a team, and they don't have an offensive line that's built to do that, and they haven't shown an ability or an aptitude to do that, and we've seen it pretty consistently this year that they can't. Defensively, I think, look, you're 11 games into a new scheme with new alpha dogs, kind of pulling the sled from the front, so to speak, with Tyrann Mathieu and Frank Clark. And we've seen some real bright moments from those guys, but we haven't seen this defense gel. And part of it is, I think they don't know, they haven't settled on what they are good at yet. And maybe that's, maybe that's an indictment of the guys on the roster not being able to get it done. Maybe it's a byproduct of the injuries they've had, limitations at linebacker. I mean, there's a lot of things you could point to, I think they don't quite have everything, they don't have everything figured out on defense. And I really think Frank Clark's injury and the fact that he hasn't been able to go 100% has hurt them, because I think Frank Clark is a guy who leads by example as much as anything. He's a guy I think that will talk, but I think he'd rather let his work ethic and his play do the talking, and he's been injured, and I don't think he's been able to do that quite to the level he wants to. But I think it's in there, because I think Patrick Mahomes is as good a competitor as they have. Until they get the offensive line issues sorted out, and until we see what this defense is, I don't think you're going to see them, quite understand what they need to do to put teams away.
All right. Your turn, Todd.
Thanks, sir.
It's like we're playing a game of Monopoly right now.
I know. We're having to scroll back and forth. So, okay. All right. I will ask you, Corey O'Donnell wants to know, Nick, he wants us to know if we can scheme up some better third down pass plays with multiple options, because he's still waiting on the Chiefs 4 minute offense and thinks Mahomes is way too elite to resort to these game manager calls late. And I will say, do you think they need to ditch? The way I take that question and the way I will repurpose it for you is, do they need to get away from the screens, in key moments? Because we've seen a couple of times in the last couple of weeks, teams have figured out Andy Reid likes to go to the screen on critical third downs.
Well, I think tonight was kind of a unique circumstance to where I think Andy saw the pressure that was coming, and he saw that they were dropping into man coverage on third down. So he thought that the screen game was going to be there specifically today. And unfortunately, some of the defensive ends with Ingram and Bosa made some good plays and forced Patrick to have to loft some passes. So,
well, Thomas Davis almost killed LeSean McCoy.
I think it was more of a last pass on that one. But yeah, no, they were basing it off of what the Chargers had been doing on third down. So that's what they went with. And it didn't work out for him. So, for me personally, I thought I was going to see more crossing routes with the way they're blitzing. I thought they were going to see Kelce come in motion and run some more crossing routes, but he ran a lot more clear outs, and they did roll outs to get Mahomes out of the pocket because of how the Chargers were pressuring up the A gaps and off the edges. So they were already moving the pocket to counterbalance some of the things the Chargers were doing on third down. It just, they were doing what they had to do to get some first downs during the second half. And unfortunately, you know, a handful of times it didn't work out.
Well, and maybe, since we're going to do a bi-week podcast, maybe we should explore the idea of does Patrick Mahomes get enough freedom at the line of scrimmage to try to do Patrick Mahomes things in those situations?
Well, we'll see how it works out.
On the next 4th and 1.
see how that works out there. Let's see. Last one I'm gonna throw out at you. It's gonna be from Chopper Bob. He asked, "When is the Legion of Zoom going to hang 50 on somebody?"
December 1st against Oakland.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, no, I keep waiting for the Chiefs to make me look good by winning a game 76-0. So far I'm still waiting. But hanging 50 in the NFL is ridiculously hard to do. Ridiculously hard to do. And unfortunately for the Chiefs, they didn't get to play Miami in September. So I don't know. I mean, I would temper my expectations, and I'll just say it'll probably be, if I had to guess, against the San Francisco 49ers in the Super Bowl.
Okay. Well, we certainly have something to look forward to, Todd. We will see if your predictions turn out to be right. So that's all.
That's right. I wish everybody could see the fire emojis I'm throwing on here in the studio.
I'm glad I'm not there for that.
All right. Well, that's all for Check the Tweets, and that's all for this edition of 4th and 1. Nick Jacobs, you feel better with your
day. We'll see how. See how things work out. Hopefully I'll sleep correctly tonight. I'm rooting for that idea.
All right. Well, and look, hey, I promise the Chiefs aren't losing next week, so take some time. You take the bye week and you relax too, all right?
Well, I mean, I do have some vacation coming up in December, so that'll be nice.
Oh, that will be nice. Where are you going? Can I come?
I think you've taken your vacation for the year at work, Todd. I think you're pretty much done, though, on that one.
If you say so. I don't know. You know what doesn't take a vacation?
No, I don't.
The 4th and 1 podcast.
Oh, okay. Sounds good.
All right, take care, kids. Have a good week.
All right, time's yours.